Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're back.
Welcome to Pathways Podcast, episode 86, take two.
Take two. That's right.
We're hoping the internet sticks with us this time.
We're hoping that we're good to go now.
Yeah. But we were just talking during our little break in between that you go to the movie theater and don't get popcorn.
That's usually what we do. Although we did go to a movie
last
week and we got popcorn. So that was like a huge special treat for the boys because we never do that.
Finally. And you know what? Send them my way. I will take them to the movie theater and buy them popcorn.
For children.
The biggest dilemma when you go to the theater is how big of a popcorn do you get?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did
because they really incentivize you to get the large bucket.
All four of us shared.
I mean, from a price per volume perspective.
Yep.
And a lot of people bring home movie theater popcorn.
Free refills though here for the large bucket.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So you refill it like on your way home.
It's kind of like Texas.
Doesn't seem very nice to do to them, but.
It's kind of like every time I go to Texas Roadhouse, you know, I've got a couple rolls and they're like, do you want another basket? And I'm like, yes, I do. Can I get a box with that too? And I bring them home because they're so delicious.
But, they are good. Yep. Yeah. So,
my favorite.
Yeah.
So anyway, wrapped up our Ask the Pastor series.
Yes,
Jen
did
a great job of hosting.
Yes,
and
she did.
She did.
Asking questions. And so we do have a few questions that we didn't get to. But
we do.
Do you want to highlight anything that from Sunday that stuck out?
Oh, National Ice Cream.
Yeah,
it was National Ice Cream.
Did you get ice cream
on Sunday?
Yes. No.
No, I didn't.
No,
I did not get ice cream.
Ice cream is one of those things where I got to be in the mood for. And I, you know, and I'm, granted, I'm in the mood for ice cream a lot. But
right.
Especially when we go out on the boat, I love to, like, on my way back in, because it's been hot.
It's
you know,
hot.
You've been out in the sun. But nothing better than getting some ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
Every day could be.
Every day is a good day for ice cream. So. Just saying. But yeah. I did not get ice cream on Sunday. But I think a lot of people did. So it's a good reason to go get some ice cream.
Thanks for the reminder, Jen.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's get to some of the questions that we weren't able to get to because of time constraints on Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. So here's a question about worship. And this question is, what are some things to consider while engaging in worship music, and do you believe that some contemporary Christian music has become too soft in their approach to giving glory to God and sounding more like declaring Jesus is my boyfriend? What do you think about
So you're talking about somebody who came to the Lord and contemporary worship in the 90s, and a lot of those, you talk about fluffy songs in the 90s. Which is kind of the 90s in general, right? I mean, just all music was a little shallow and fluffy. But I can remember there were certain songs, I'm like, feels like I'm singing a love song to a guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan. And so now maybe that's an over analysis on my part, right? And I'll admit that. So I think that, you know, just based on personal experience, there are some songs that just hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Holy Spirit uses certain songs. And, you know, I don't think there's a formula to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think generally what we're looking for in corporate worship is a song that points to Jesus and affirms the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and oftentimes there's continuity between what we're singing and what we're teaching.
Right. Mm.
So, you know, and I do think that, you know, if you kind of break the two up, so the first part of the service is kind of bringing us and ushering us into the presence of God and getting our hearts centered on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the back half is just, it's response.
Right.
So oftentimes, you know, there is a difference, I guess, technically between praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
So praise songs are more like these anthems, these declarations, these affirmations of faith, whereas worship is oftentimes more is deeper
mm-hmm.
and more kind of heartfelt and things like that. But I do think that you do have to, I mean, obviously you have to be cautious about what kind of songs that you put in there. I do think that, you know, there are happy, slappy, you know, kind of fluffy Christian songs, and you know, you just kind of work through all that stuff. But
mm-hmm.
I think that oftentimes, you know, just based so you take you take our worship team, you take our leaders within the church, and I think that when we hear a song and God uses that song, oftentimes that's kind of a beginning point.
Yeah.
So it's not like we have this list of songs that, you know, okay, so these are the songs this week that you can choose from as far as like new songs and things like that. It literally is something that the Spirit leads us to and lays on our hearts. And so our praise team, our tech team, our services, they should be worshipers, and they should worship outside the church, and they should be listening to music, and they should be listening to praise and worship. And as they do, and when something comes out that just really impacts them, then there's like this thread. There's this communication thread on our praise team. And oftentimes people are sending us songs that have impacted them. And you know, it's kind of an extensive list, but we just kind of work through it. We look at the lyrics. We look at, would the congregation, would this be a song that's easy for the congregation to sing?
Mm-hmm.
Not all songs are created equal when it comes to melody. And so a lot of things to contribute, but I agree that there are some songs out there that are just kind of like, we're not really interested in really, really light, theologically shallow songs. We want there to be a depth to it.
Right.
And so that's what we're shooting for. But I think a lot of that too is just, a reflection of where we're at. Do you remember, I hear these songs, and I don't mind these songs, but some of these songs are just, you remember the songs from the 90s?
Yeah.
And you're just like,
I remember the
I don't
songs
think
from
the there 90s. Was one reference to one Bible verse in that song.
Probably not.
And, it was kind of the movement of the time, and the Holy Spirit did use that.
Yep.
But I do think that people hunger for spiritual meat, and that there are things that are milk. And there are things that are meat, and I think the way that you grow is by eating meat and not drinking milk. So we're always trying to find things that have a depth to them.
Yeah.
So what would you say to someone in worship that maybe isn't connecting with a song and, isn't feeling it? Like, is it a heart posture thing? Like, necessarily, they don't want to sing the song, but can they still worship God in worship without singing the lyrics to a song?
Well, if we go back to the means of grace within the church, and that the idea that there is a there is a spiritual presence that is present when so the Holy Spirit dwells within us. But as we gather together, there's a spiritual presence that other people can experience.
Right.
And that can be, that can be something. But I do think, though, that at some point there's a discipline in surrendering yourself to worship. And I think that for a lot of people, they I don't know if they want to be in control of their lives is the right expression. Maybe that's not it exactly, but oftentimes people come in and they just kind of want to get through the worship because they want to get to the message. But I do think, though, that there's a preparation of your heart in worship.
Absolutely.
That's pretty important. And so I will just tell you on a personal level that, when you work at the church, right, and you work behind the scenes, oftentimes, so when I walk into a service, I've had a lot of things going on up to that point. And it feels good to me. To just lose myself in the worship. And that's really what I try to do. I can't do that immediately. I come, oftentimes I'll come in like halfway through the first song because I go out and I get prayer and then maybe run into somebody and talk to them or whatever it is that goes on. And then I'll come in, and when I first walk in there, it's a process. And you just kind of immerse yourself deeper and deeper into the worship. So I think that's real important. And but that's just a personal discipline of mine.
Yeah.
And I never sit there so in the middle of worship, if a song comes up, I don't really critique the song. I just worship. And then maybe later I might think, But we have a lot. So the vision of worship at the Way, it's a unified vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I just don't. There's just not a lot of songs that go up there that I'm not aware of that we weren't going to sing, and they're just not reflective of our theology on worship.
Yeah.
So we've had a few songs. There's been a few controversial songs that have come out where people objected to some of the lyrics, and we've had discussions theologically about, you know, is it appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that you know? And if we actually and if we determine that, you know, maybe there's a lyric in a song that some people think is fine and other people don't, we may just, for the sake of unity, just, you know, move on from that perhaps. But, you know,
yeah,
it's a process. So. Yeah.
That's good.
And a shout out to the worship team. You know, I don't think a lot of people know how much time and effort they put in week after week to, you know, practice and to look at lyrics, memorize lyrics, you know, instruments.
Ready for Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, they just don't show up 10 minutes before the service on Sunday.
Well, and the criteria, I mean, so the criteria, you're right, for being a praise and worship leader, you should have a theological, pretty good theological knowledge.
Right.
So Scott and Al, they have a good theological knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so they know, you know, so a lot of this stuff has happened before it's even brought up to the congregation.
Right.
The processing and the thing. Just because it's a popular song amongst the Christian genre doesn't mean it's right for us to sing and worship.
Right.
So a lot of thought goes ahead of the time.
Yeah. Once you take theology, you might listen to the lyrics of songs differently.
Yeah.
That also happens.
Well, you know what? Again, and I talked about this in a sermon a long time ago with Nathan Van Wyk played a rap song that was more theologically deep and sound than a lot of other songs we sing. It just happened to be in a different form of music.
Yep.
But I'm pretty sure that if we did a praise and worship song corporally that was rap, a lot of people would not be able to be like,
I can't keep a beat, so... does the worship team still need volunteers?
Shout out to the worship team.
Instrumentalists. So if you are good with an instrument, like a real instrument, not just like a mouth harp or spoons.
A kazoo.
What about a harmonica? Didn't somebody play a harmonica at one point? Was it Al? Was Al on the harmonica?
I have no idea.
I think it's Jerry played harmonica.
Was it? Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't remember. Anyway, if you have an instrument skill set, there's
a need. That's right. Yes.
So
that was actually me off to the side playing my harmonica.
Well, you did a really good job.
It was very memorable.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't play my harmonica.
We're all like, All right, how about the next question?
Yeah.
So the next question is about witnessing. What's the best way to deal with Jehovah's Witness or Mormons when they knock on our door? And this person says they're not really interested in learning a false doctrine to better understand how to share the gospel with them. But it seems like that's what needs to happen. So how do we witness to others or respond in those situations?
I think that it sounds unloving to say that people practice false doctrine. However, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to have a discussion lovingly, a corrective discussion, then you need to know what false doctrine they teach.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've spoken before about how I've had conversations with both Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, and I've had loving conversations with them. We invite them into our house. We sit in my living room and we'll talk about things. Mm-hmm. And, it got to a point where they don't knock on my door anymore.
Right.
Which that's fine. Somewhere along the line, I made the list of don't knock on this door. But nonetheless, I feel like it's our duty and our obligation to correct false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I kind of start with this presupposition that even people that practice false doctrine, they're looking for something from God.
Mm-hmm.
They're just in a place right now where they're being told something that isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, tell them something that is.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, you know, leave it to the Holy Spirit to kind of move them and do whatever it will. It's just like any other thing. You're planting seeds and doing the things you're doing. And I would say, you know, in the case of Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a foundation in Scripture. So mm-hmm. it is kind of difficult to know, you know, where are the areas where we, where they have kind of veered off mm-hmm. the map that, that makes them non-Orthodox Christian. Because mm-hmm. They all claim to be Christian. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think, again, so in the case of the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they mess with who Jesus is.
Right. Hmm. Yeah.
And that's a pretty big thing.
That's a really big deal.
So maybe you don't necessarily need to know what how they've changed who Jesus is, but you need to know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of like if somebody who didn't know you or you mm-hmm. comes up to me and says, you know, Aaron loves ballet and he loves to he loves to dress in pink and
where are you dance, going
and dance in the moonlight? I would say, you know,
wow, Aaron.
I know Aaron, and I'm pretty sure that's not true.
That's all I know.
And I'll tell you, I let me tell you what I know about Aaron. True. Let me tell you who he is and what he does. You know, I, you know, somebody could come to me and say, hey, Marcy Bilmer, she hates organization. She can't stand structure. She absolutely, she thrives in chaos.
She's never taken a note in her life.
Never.
And she hates tea.
She loves shout to the Lord.
I would say, you know what? I know Marcy, and I know that that's not true. So that's my approach to witnessing. So when we talk about things that aren't true about Jesus,
yep.
I don't speak from the aspect of doctrine. I speak from the aspect of relational knowledge.
Right.
It's like, you know what? I know Jesus, and I know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reality, too, is that if they're practicing false doctrine, they don't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about a relational, anytime you talk with people about your relationship with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
Your personal dynamic, you know, relationship with Jesus Christ, people that don't have that don't know what to say because, you know, they can't talk about their relationship with Jesus.
Right.
So I think that's a good place to focus on whenever you're witnessing to anybody.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that, you just, before you go out and you witness, just get in close with Jesus relationally. Get mm-hmm. to that place, you know, worship him, you know, study what the Word of God said, what he said, know his words, know all these things, and
mm-hmm.
and then you know, you can speak from firsthand knowledge and not get into an argument over doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the one thing I think they get right, and I want to be careful, the one thing they get right is they go out and they share. Now, granted, they're not sharing the truth, but they go out and freely and willingly share
yeah.
what they believe. And as a Christian, I'm like, I need to be doing more of this. Like, I need to be out there giving people the truth more. And so if there's anything, like, I can look at them and be like, at least they're going out and do, I shouldn't say at least, but they are going out and doing something. Like, that's what we as Christians should be doing,
mm-hmm.
is going yeah. out and witnessing.
Well, and they also have, because they have a false doctrine about who Jesus is, they have a false doctrine about grace, and so mm-hmm. they're very works-driven. I wish that we as Christians, I mean, we're not justified by works, but we are, as we're justified, we are driven, we are compelled
yeah. mm-hmm.
into works.
Right.
And yep. so... And it's there too is another place where you can talk. I'm not trying to achieve righteousness
mm-hmm.
by doing things. Yeah. I'm doing things because grace, Christ on the cross, has given me this place of undeserved privilege, and I am grateful.
Yeah.
So therefore, out of my love and my relationship with mm-hmm. Jesus, I am witnessing mm-hmm. to him because it's good news. It's the gospel.
The Holy Spirit compelled me to do it.
Absolutely.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So very good.
Yeah. So along those lines, so that kind of looks at how do we interact with people with differing religious views. So the next question is then, how are we supposed to interact with people who have different political views than we do? What would you say for that?
I think that it's okay to have a personal political view, but don't hold it so tightly that you're willing to hate somebody who differs in your view.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, well, this goes back to, we had class last night from Winning the War in Your Mind, and I brought up this idea of What do cognitive biases look like? What mm-hmm. are they? And you know, are you humble enough to admit that you have a bias that you're probably not aware mm-hmm. that it's a bias? And if I'm going to be humbly admit that, I will admit I have a bias towards a certain political point of view. Mm-hmm. And when they don't share that view with me, in my flesh, I want to battle that. Mm-hmm. I want to try to, I don't know, convert them over. I don't even know, enlighten
them. Get them to see your side.
Whatever the word is. And I think it's okay to explain to people why you feel the way you do, but you shouldn't turn it into it's not a theology.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, it's not anything that should divide us mm-hmm. if we are united in Christ.
Right.
So it's not like all Christians, all true Christians become Republicans or Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus was non-political.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus actually just completely removed himself from the politics that was going on. I mean, he never conflicted with the Romans, and he did try to correct the Pharisees, who you could make the argument were, they were the religious leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So there were those combats going in there, but Jesus didn't try to change the politics of what was going on.
Right.
He just invited people into the kingdom of God. That's mm-hmm. all he did.
Change the hearts.
Which the people expected him to change the politics
right.
that were going on at the time. And when he did it, that was upsetting to a lot of people because it wasn't what they expected. And
yeah. And the reality is that most people have a political ideology based on life experience.
Mm-hmm.
You very rarely do you find a person that says, you know, I really was completely neutral about it, so I decided to go and research each one thoroughly.
Right.
And as I researched that, I deduced that this is my position. No, if you ask them, most people say, well, my parents were this way, or, mm-hmm. you know, I had this life experience, and it kind of formulated my view on the thing. And I mean, if they're really going to be honest, and mm-hmm. I just feel like that Christ is a separate, should be a bigger experience
mm-hmm.
that, you know, if you say I'm a Democrat and you're a Republican, that in itself is a minor issue compared to the bigger issue. If we're brothers in Christ,
mm-hmm.
that's the bigger issue.
Right.
And, you know, I've had friends of mine that I've been in fellowship and deep friendships with that have a different political view than me.
Mm-hmm.
And we just reach a point where it's like, you know what, let's just not even talk about the same.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree.
You're you, I'm me,
move on.
I love you, you love me, let's just rise above it, and we'll talk about Jesus, and
yep.
and we'll go on. So,
yep.
Yep.
Not let it divide us.
Very good. Well, I have one more question. And this one, so one of the topics that you had on Sunday had to deal with sin and the atonement and grace. And this question goes along with that area. So the question is, did God grieve the death of his son? Did it change him? And what does God's grief look like to the world? And how is it misinterpreted? And is this continual?
Mm. That's a really deep question.
It is.
Did God grieve the death of his son?
Mm-hmm.
I think the answer to that, of course, is yes, but it's not as simple as saying yes.
Right.
Because it also pleased him.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus died to pay the penalty for the sins of all those who would believe. So at the same time, Jesus was glorifying God.
Right.
Even in his punishment, so the Father. So there was something good about all that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it grieved the Father, but yet simultaneously it gave him pleasure
mm-hmm.
because of what was going on and what was deeper meaning. And I think that, you know, I think that that's somebody. So in Wayne Grudem, when you study the immutability of God, the non-changing aspect of God, so God does not change, which mm-hmm. is part of that question.
Yep.
But yet God does react
mm-hmm.
in the moment.
And feels emotions.
Mm-hmm. So, and the two go together. So how do they work? Well, it's something to the effect of, you know, so God doesn't divinely look ahead. So for example, if you're repenting from sin, God doesn't look ahead and say, well, you're just going to do it again tomorrow. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. Same way, if you're in sin, God doesn't say, well, I know you're going to repent tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're actively, non-repentantly acting in sin, that's where the kind of the discipline of the Father comes in. So God deals with situations as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but he also divinely knows what's going to happen. So he was fully in that moment of Jesus' death, and I believe as a father, as the member of the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
there was sadness.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also the divine aspect of God knowing this is for the greater good.
Right.
And this is, and he also knew, you know, obviously he knew that, you know, what lied in store for the Son.
Mm-hmm.
The resurrection.
Yeah, what was going to happen in the days to come.
What was going to happen in the days to come. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, think about the Father sitting there and watching. So God is in the flesh, and the creation is rejecting him, mocking him,
mm-hmm.
beating him, killing him. Yeah, there was anger there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also all divinely orchestrated and ordained by the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody was doing anything against what the Father wanted done. So it's a really deep issue.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the way that I always choose to kind of, when I approach the emotions of God, is that I'm thankful that he is omniscient, that he knows everything, and that he knows, you know, Psalm 139, he knows all my days before any one of them came to be. So I have faith in that. But then I also believe that he's so ever present and involved that he has issues with what I'm doing here.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just say, I'm not going to worry about that. It's not how God is wired. So every little thing matters to God, but yet he's not lost in the details, so mm-hmm. to speak. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, man, that's a really good deep
yeah.
question.
It is a
I just
question.
Really have appreciated all these questions.
I know they've been really good.
And I would say that I didn't know those questions before you.
No,
asked
you
that
didn't.
One. So I'm
sorry.
Going,
no preview.
So
you get previews for Sunday, but
so after,
not for the podcast.
After you know, so part of my thought is after answering a question like that is I was thinking out loud.
Yeah.
So I hope I didn't say anything in error, and I hope I said everything that I needed to say. So
yeah.
That I hope it answered the question, but I guess I don't know.
Yep. Sorry, I should have given you a little preview.
No, I like the spontaneous question. I like it because it makes me think, and you know, it does kind of challenge me in the moment. So I really like that. But.
And if it didn't answer the question, email us back.
That's
and
right.
We will
talk about it again next
talk
week.
Talk about it, or
that's right.
Yeah. Or well, you can come in and talk to staff, or
yeah, absolutely.
You know, grab an elder, talk
yep.
to them. But.
Yeah.
That's for any question, anytime.
Yeah. I mean, I've got all this scripture ranging around in my head. You know, it's like, you know, so in the Old Testament, obviously everything was foretold
mm-hmm.
about the crucifixion of Jesus.
Right.
And then you think about how it talks, you know, how it speaks about how, you know, he was pierced for our transgression and by his wounds we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was written 1,000 years
right.
before the event. And so, you know, I mean, so,
God knew it was coming.
And it gave the Father pleasure to set his children free in such
right.
a way that they were healed
mm-hmm.
of their transgressions.
Right. And it wasn't a grief because it wasn't supposed to happen or because
right. It's not,
you know,
like the Father was sitting back
God's
there going, I can't
control.
Believe they're doing this to my son.
Right.
And
yeah.
then, you know, and truth is, theologically, who did kill Jesus? Did people kill Jesus or did the Father?
Mm-hmm.
The Father killed the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it because it was a way of making people right without having to pay the penalty themselves,
right.
a penalty that they could never pay.
Right.
So it was a sacrificial
mm-hmm.
Thing, and it was very noble.
Yeah.
So it's not divine child abuse as some past people have described it as.
Right.
It was anything but,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Yep. That's good. That's all the questions I have. So
all right. Good questions, Marcy.
Other questions, let us know.
On to theology. And talking about the millennium. So last
yes.
week we talked about the return of Christ, when and how.
Yep.
And this week we're talking about the millennium. So what is the millennium, Marcy? Why don't you give us a definition?
I do have a definition.
Yes,
I'm like,
you do.
I don't know if I have a definition. I do. The millennium is a term that refers to the period of 1,000 years mentioned in Revelation 20, verses 4 and 5, as the time of the reign of Christ and believers over the earth. So,
yeah, and as you start to unpack the millennium, you have to ask yourself, is it literal or is it
figurative?
That is one of the questions.
Because one of the different views on the millennial reign of Christ that is described in the book of Revelation is that it's symbolic,
mm-hmm.
it's figurative, and that it actually is describing an age of that we're in now, which
right.
is the church age.
Yep.
That we are actually in the amillennial reign
mm-hmm.
of Christ, which that's amillennialism, is that it's a figurative. Then you have, so you really have three views.
Mm-hmm.
You have premillennial, postmillennial, and amillennial.
Yep.
Oh.
So you know the amillennial position. Premillennial is that Jesus comes back before the literal thousand-year reign, and then the other one is he comes back after the thousand-year reign.
Mm-hmm.
So to understand premillennial and postmillennial, the question is, does Jesus come back and the church is in tatters, or does he come back to a victorious church?
Mm-hmm.
So postmillennial suggests that he comes back to a victorious church, that the church itself, the body of Christ, actually ushers in this millennium. The premillennial says that, you know, and this kind of goes with the tribulation, you know, when does the tribulation, all these things happen. The premillennial seems to suggest that Christ comes to rescue the church
mm-hmm.
because the world has reached such a point that it is, it's time.
And right, mm-hmm. in need of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so along with the postmillennial view too, just some notes that I had there. It's kind of this idea that the gospel progresses and things get better in society because of the gospel progression, and more people come to Jesus. And so that's kind of the idea too, that things are getting better, the church is getting better, and then Jesus returns.
Yeah, and I would.
So it's kind of another piece of that.
Right, and I would say that the Bible, in my opinion, very clearly says it's premillennial.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with premillennial is it ushers in, like, just tons of questions.
Right, there's a lot of questions involved with it.
So we know that in the premillennial position, that because at the end of the millennium, there's the Battle of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So not everybody on earth are children of God. Because
right.
there's this opposition that is formed of the people of the earth that tries to come against Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this Battle of Armageddon, which then leads after that, it leads to the Great White Throne Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So the Great White Throne Judgment comes at the end of the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
So the part that goes with the premillennial is that our resurrection happens at the return of Christ. So you have resurrected non-perishable human beings living with fallen human beings.
Right.
And that just seems like a very strange...
Right, that seems odd. But
because you'd think that everybody that sees the resurrected people would be like...
They're different.
That seems like the thing to be. I think I'll believe in Jesus.
Right.
But it just...
He just showed up in that room. Like,
yeah.
Wasn't that kind of weird?
And then how on earth can the people of the earth and even, you know, Satan himself and the powers of darkness, how can they think that they could win the Battle of Armageddon?
Yeah.
Because the numbers of Christ and the heavenly host would have to vastly outnumber. But these are all questions that you have as you kind of dive into the millennial reign mm-hmm. of Christ. But I will tell you that the Bible, the book of Revelation, very clearly describes it
yeah.
as a literal thousand-year reign of Jesus. And I think the only reason why you would question what it's saying is because it just... That itself raises just tons of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, so if you're going to make an argument for amillennialism, it's that, you know, we have people that have been resurrected spiritually living amongst people that haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not yet a bodily resurrection. But the church age itself, you know, is described as the body of Christ. So we live in this church age. Is and Christ reigns over the church, and so
mm-hmm.
is there
And this topic's fun to talk about and kind of play out different scenarios, but I've seen people in the past get stuck here. Like, they just become obsessed with end times, eschatology, and, you know, the millennium, and then they completely ignore the rest of the New Testament, which we're called to go out and be as disciples and creating disciples.
So. Well, and the other challenge is if you have an amillennial position, the Bible suggests that Satan is imprisoned during the millennium, and that he's released at the end of the 1,000 years, and that he actually leads the armies of the earth to come against in the Battle of Armageddon. Well, I don't believe that Satan is bound now.
Right?
I think he's, I think that he is restricted, and he's not left to do what he wants to do.
Right.
I think that God has kind of restricted his ability to do things, and so, but he's not just so. So you could make the argument. So again, I'm going back. I'm not all millennial. I don't know where I lie in all this. I have some personal views, but obviously, but you could make the argument that Satan, because he's restricted, it's almost like he's imprisoned. But he's still doing stuff, and he's still causing things to happen. And but the idea is that toward the end of this age, he'll just be allowed to do whatever he wants.
Right.
That's when things get really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I know for example, Satan and the kingdom of darkness can come against me, but not to the full weight that they want to.
Right.
Right. Book of Job.
Right.
Right. He has to have permission from God to do.
Absolutely.
Something. And there's nothing outside of God's control that he doesn't allow to happen. So that's kind of interesting to think about, though. Like, it, how much reign is Satan going to be given in the after the imprisonment?
Well, you know, Paul talks about when people leave the church, release them to Satan. So he almost, so there's this picture painted in Scripture that the restriction of Satan is towards the church, or the yeah, so Satan is only allowed to do so much to the church, and then anything outside of that is like, there you go, free reign, and so that gets into the conversation as well, and so I think it is fascinating, and I you know, and I'm not a person that has an absolute view on it. I know what the Bible says, so if you like forced me in a corner and said now.
Right.
Have a position. I'm going to take the biblical position, which is premillennial. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Right. Jesus is coming.
I'm just going to keep my, I'm gonna keep my eye on Jesus, and I'm going to trust him.
That's a big
point.
Jesus,
you know, if he decides to, if he decides that, that my days have ended and I go be with him, fine. If he's decided that I'm going to be until his return, so be it.
Yep.
I'm, my heart is ready for either one, and I don't know.
And no matter how bad the world gets, we can always cling to the hope that Jesus is coming back and he's going to fix.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The earth. I think it's pretty safe to say that this is not the new earth.
Right.
So I have an expectation of a new earth.
Right.
Which, you know, we've talked about that previously. We've talked about everything fixed and all the brokenness repaired and all the hostility between the inhabitants of the earth has been brought to a place of peaceful coexistence. And
Yeah, we actually talk about that in 2 weeks. New heaven and new earth.
Yeah.
There you go. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Very good.
Yeah. I'm just flipping through to see if anything else pops up. But.
Yeah. Some good.
There's a lot of information.
There's
from
a lot of
Wayne
information
Grudman
in there. Yeah.
So.
Some good diagrams.
Well, I think he put in a lot of details because it creates a lot of division.
It does. People get hung up, like you said earlier, Aaron, people get hung up on this. And
yeah, and I'm sure there's people that could listen to us talking and say, well, they should have a a stronger view. It's like, well.
We'll see.
I just, I'm a firm believer in the eternal security.
Right.
That, you know, and we talked about that, that, you know, Jesus says that, you know, no one can snatch my sheep from my hand. I believe Jesus is the good shepherd.
Yep.
And I believe that whenever the stuff starts to happen, those that, that know his voice, those that he claims are his, will be shepherded through whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I believe that with every ounce of my being. So I'm mm-hmm. not that concerned about it.
Mm-hmm. I can remember someone asking me about the rapture and what I believed in that. And, you know, and my response was, I don't care, because God is going to do what he wants to do. And I'm not going to get tied up into this belief of having a certain belief and an expectation. I'm going to follow Christ no matter what happens in what situation, and I'm not going to get wrapped up into the what ifs. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and quite frankly, I think that every generation of believer has thought that the return was going to happen in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I think God set it up that way. I think even the disciples, the apostles, believed that it was going to happen mm-hmm. in their lifetime, because I think that's God wants us to live
right.
with that in perspective. That
and an urgency.
And an right? urgency. Mm-hmm. But yet at the same time, we also know that it may not happen during mm-hmm. our lifetime.
Yep.
You've said before, and then back to the urgency thing, you've said before, like, there's going to be a point where that's it. Like, mm-hmm. so we should be compelled as believers to share the good news, to go out and to tell others about Jesus, because at some point, mm-hmm. time's going to be up.
It is it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when you are a decisive person and somebody wants more time to commit, they think you're being too decisive. But in reality, you've given people time before the final moment to make their decision, mm-hmm. right? I mean, isn't that kind of the basic essence of leadership, is that you throw something out there and you know there's a time where a decision has to be made, mm-hmm. but you give people an opportunity from now until then to make that decision.
Right.
But then once it gets to the point, okay, now we need to make the decision because we can't wait any longer. Mm-hmm. That I think that's just how it's. So when that final moment comes, it's going to happen quickly.
Right. It's mm-hmm. there's not going to be that time to think about it. Then,
I think on that final day or that great day it describes as that day of the Lord, that final day of the Lord. It's just going to, you're going to wake up, and then by the time that day is over, everything will have changed.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's just a matter of waiting. Till then.
Yep.
Right?
Jesus is coming.
Running the race.
You should be ready.
Until the race is over.
That's right.
Absolutely. Good.
All right. Stuff. Got anything else, Marcy?
No, I don't.
You got announcements.
I do have announcements. So are we ready for announcements?
Nope.
Too bad. Should not have asked that question. We are ready for announcements.
I was
going to
say, does it matter?
No, it does not. We're getting announcements anyway. So this Friday is Men's Ministry Kingdom Builders is having their card night. So I did put out a call at our class last night. So everybody needs to come beat the reigning champs.
Yeah, did you tell them who the reigning champs were?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Well,
I will say that it was explained to me that there were multiple games and that you're reigning champ in only one game.
Just pitch. Four-point pitch.
There you go.
But
come there's like four or five different games.
Yeah, they had cribbage, they had pitch, they had...
Dirty board?
Dirty board was there, yep.
I don't know. I'm somewhat familiar with dirty board.
It's not a dirty game other than players knocking each other out and playing dirty.
It's kind of like Sorry.
It is like Sorry. It is. It's a lot like Sorry.
There's other like rules and cards in it, but it's kind of like Sorry.
I love Sorry. Like, my kids got that.
It's better than Sorry.
It is. It's way better than Sorry.
It's better than that. Yeah.
But anyway.
So, anyway,
Friday night, champ.
6:30.
Zach won't be there, so we can't defend our title. So we'll just have to be champs for a while longer.
That's right. I do have the address, too. It's 1714 North 4th Avenue East, Suite A. So that's where it should go.
I was in Alicia's office the other day, and I saw a trophy in there that was apparently one of your son's trophies.
Oh, yes. And, yeah, she needed it for her Sparks lesson.
I asked if I could take that to the curtain.
That's funny.
But I didn't have permission because it was, I think, Nick's trophy.
It is Nick's trophy. Yeah.
I'll have to ask Nick.
You'll have to ask Nick if you can take it to card night. Maybe Nick will go to card night. I don't know.
That would be fun.
We'll see.
There were some father sons that were there.
That's good.
That was neat. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. So this Friday, don't miss it, 6:30. You can sign up online so they have an idea of how many people are going to come. And you can bring a snack. So guys like food. Bring some food.
We do like food.
Meat and cheese.
That's right.
Crackers.
Meat and cheese. That's right.
Yep.
Yep.
They have nachos, chips.
There's probably won't be any pretzel dessert there.
Probably not because it's
there
pretzel
certainly
salad.
Won't be any pretzel salad.
You know what wasn't there?
It was
the best odds. The best chance of it making into that space is to call it dessert.
Salad. This is true. So it will probably not be there.
You know what else wasn't there? Vegetables.
That's probably also true. Yes, no vegetables. So. Yes, bring a snack, but not veggies, because yeah. No one will eat them.
Bring something just meaty and...
Cheesy.
And you know what? For guys, even beanie. I hate beans.
Yikesy.
But...
Yikesy, Jen says.
Beans are the magical fruit.
All right, so moving on. Also coming up at the way.
Wait, so we're bringing fruit.
Okay, we're done.
We're moving on while we still have listeners and watchers.
And while people still want to come to Kingdom Builders Card Night.
Word gets out that there's going to be beans there. Wives are going to look at their husband and say, no.
No, that's right. No. We want people to come. So
call me, yes. I'll rescue you and take you. Anyway.
ARC. We have an ARC event coming up. Yes. And so they are collecting school supplies. And we have a list of school supplies. It's on our website, and it was printed and put, it's attached here in my pile, but it was printed and put in your bulletin this week as well. So you can take your list, you can go to the store, you can do your shopping and drop it off at the office, or you can order online and have it sent to the church if that is easier too. Mm. So that is a list of school supplies that they're looking for, and they're going to be handing those out in August. They're going to do August 14th is the school supply giveaway. So they are looking for supplies really kind of as soon as possible. So they have an idea of what they have coming in and what they still need to purchase in addition to that. And so they're going to be doing a school supply giveaway here at the Way for Newton and surrounding community families. But then they're also going to be going to Baxter in the afternoon on the 14th and doing a school supply giveaway there as well.
So, volunteers, do they need volunteers to help?
I believe they would probably take volunteers, okay. Yes. So if you would like to volunteer at the event, you can call the office and let us know or get a hold of Rod and Marla. That would be great too. Yeah. Little Sparks is in week 3. And so, yes, some people are very excited about Little
Still
Sparks.
Still excited about
so
it.
So fun. It is. Yeah. The kids are excited about it.
They are.
You see them coming out. They're just having a great time with it. So.
I have a story about Little Sparks. Anyway, go ahead.
Tell your story.
Okay. So Alicia leads Little Sparks.
She does.
And she told us this story last night after we registered getting him for preschool. She said she can't tell Zayden anything, her son, in advance. Otherwise, he wants to do it right now.
Right. And he's there also at Little Sparks.
Yeah. But she said, so the first week, that Sunday, the morning, they went to church. And then she told him he was going to Little Sparks. And he got really excited. But then this last Sunday... She woke him up from bed, and he woke up and just started, like, cheering and screaming, and he was so excited that he got to see Gideon, which is my boy, because they go to preschool together and they're friends, so a lot of excitement from the kids.
That's so fun.
A lot of excitement from the parents.
Yep, that's right.
It's good.
That is good.
Thanks for our volunteers for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes volunteers to make it happen, and... So we appreciate that.
It's the last time you woke up cheering, going, yeah!
Right! Yes!
Every Sunday I wake up to get to come into the office
That's
to be
right.
with you guys.
I know. That's right. As he laughs. No sarcasm there at all.
No. The angels sing. You guys say that it doesn't happen, but every time
I hear the angels
So,
sing.
Little Sparks is for preschoolers ages 3, 4, and going into kindergarten. So, yeah, this week and then one more week. So we have 4 weeks total. This is week 3.
I'm already getting sad. The joy.
You know, if you wanted to volunteer for extra weeks, Alicia might just let that happen. So we'll see.
Pretty sure I have other duties those Sundays.
Oh, Aaron.
Listen,
anyway.
People have giftings. We've talked about spiritual gifts.
We have.
And the point of gifts is to bless somebody else.
That's
Aaron is blessed by the gifts of those that are working at Little Sparks.
Exactly. That's right, he is.
And I don't have that gift.
You know, I'm not sure. I don't know. Have you volunteered with Little Sparks or with 3-year-olds?
With children, I have. I've been
3 and 4-year-olds.
I've been mandated.
He's been voluntold on many occasions.
But maybe with older kids.
Summer camp.
But, you know, younger kids is totally different. So, just saying.
So, just on a personal level, now obviously I'm busy on Sunday morning, so it's not an option. I love kids, but I love them also when they get a little older. And you can kind of maybe reason with them just a little more.
I love the preschool age. I think
well, I think
fun.
That's great. But that's, I think that they're everybody, I think everybody's kind of different as
yeah,
to which
they have
age.
Their age yep. group.
Agreed.
Yep. Yep. So
there you go.
Yeah. It's good.
If you have a gifting for little kids, get a hold of us.
Yes. Or nursery.
Or
too.
Nursery.
Yes. I think we have some
still
needs in nursery. So yeah, nursery, preschoolers, let us know. But also coming up is men's breakfast. So men's breakfast is going to be meeting on July 31st at 7 a.m. in the Way Cafe. And so that would be a great time to come out to for some not vegetables.
Not
again,
vegetables.
Probably
bacon.
Bacon.
Sausage.
Eggs. Yes.
Eggs.
All kinds of man food there.
Yeah.
So,
bring
come
your,
out for
bring
that.
Your sons. Fathers,
yes.
bring your sons.
Yep. That's right.
Good.
So, and Operation Finding Freedom is on the Mark Your Calendars Part yep. 2, August 6th, first Friday of every month. You guys meet in the Discipleship Center at 7 p.m. So that's also kind of a coming
yep.
up thing. And then we have a women's group that is going to be going on the retreat at Hidden Acres. So the men's group
Ooh.
Goes in
I
kind of that January
it.
Time. I know. That's, this is his joke.
Where is that place?
It's hidden.
I can't find
right.
it. It's hidden.
Are you going?
Anyway, I don't know yet.
I'm just curious.
I don't know yet. It's in September.
I,
so, yes.
If you go, I want you to take a video of my wife doing axe throwing.
Oh, that would be fun. Axe throwing would be worth it. It would be fun. They have a zip line.
Yeah, we should
they
all
have
go.
A very large swing.
Jousting.
They have...
I'm sure they'll have
jousting. They do. That's Todd and Nathan.
They put you on the back of a horse and
there.
You go right at each other.
Do.
Not that jousting. The double.
The pixie sticks
yeah.
or
yeah,
whatever
yeah,
you call
yeah.
them.
And you're on a platform.
Yep. Not yep. pixie sticks. Whatever
yeah,
it's
no,
called.
I
bungee. No, what, I don't know. I'm sorry.
They look like Q-tips.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you try to knock each other off
yeah.
of the platform?
Right.
Yeah, they had
yep.
the men's retreat. I don't
yeah.
know if they'll have it at the women's retreat.
I don't know. They might. You just don't know.
Dodgeball. Pungy
right.
sticks? Pungy sticks.
I don't know. But Hidden Acres. So if you are interested, you can find more information on our website.
But you have to be a woman.
Yes,
you
gotta
do. Gotta be a woman to go.
If you are a man, then you can go to the men's retreat in... It's January or
January,
February.
Yep.
So I think it's January.
The weather will
but
be bad.
The weather
will
be cold.
That all just adds to the experience.
And icy. And
that's
so
right.
it'll be very manly.
Axe throwing in the snow.
That's
that
right.
That was pretty cool.
Yes. Oh, and Fall Fest. We have Fall Fest coming up as well. September 11 from 3:30 to 6:30. We have signups online. So there's a lot of volunteer opportunities. We're looking for donations, I believe, but also people to volunteer at the event. And so you can go to our website and sign up now for different ways to volunteer for that.
I've heard a lot of chatter about Fall Fest.
Yeah, we're excited about Fall Fest.
Yeah, I've heard a lot. I've heard there could be everything from possibly cotton candy to elephants. It's just a but we won't know.
I'd be pretty willing to bet there won't be elephants.
An elephant in the room.
I hope they if there are elephants, I hope they come with their own cleanup crew. That's all I'm saying.
It's very true.
Tracy's in charge of maintenance. He'll have a heck of a
Tracy's in charge. Has anybody told Tracy
Poor
he's in
Tracy.
Charge of cleanup?
Tracy's gonna be
we're
like,
gonna, we're gonna
no.
have a lot of grass that's really growing.
No, it's gonna area. Get vetoed.
But I don't know what all. You're just gonna have to come to find
that's
out.
That's right. Come
but
and find out.
Wide
it's
variety.
Gonna be fun.
Yep.
Let's just
sure.
say, since we had to sit out Fall Fest, that with this one may have a little extra oomph.
There you go.
I like
perhaps.
It. I like it.
Perhaps.
September 11th.
September
11th.
In the afternoon, 3:30 to 6:30.
And that's always been a really good
great food, great
outreach
fellowship.
Opportunity to,
yep, great way.
To invite people in. To
definitely.
Yeah, to be blessed and then hopefully to come to church.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. That's
anything
all my
else?
Announcements for
Do you
today.
You want me to look over this real quick?
Sure, it is attached to everything else.
I'm just going to make sure you hit everything. Looks like
I think I did.
We covered the worship team.
Yeah.
You can stay connected with us throughout the week on Facebook and Instagram. That is a
yes,
note here.
Yes, you can. You know, if they're watching this, they're already on Facebook. So.
Just so you know.
But what if they're listening
if
to
you
it
jump
on
Facebook right now, you can watch us.
Yep.
you can stay connected with us.
I didn't mention that there's the Pathways podcast on Wednesdays, and it's live.
It is. Join us for Pathways podcast.
It's only live if you watch it live.
That is true. Later it won't be live.
In about 5 minutes, it'll no longer be live.
It's less than that.
It's true. 10 seconds.
You are done. You've worn out your welcome.
Well, as always, this concludes our podcast. And we appreciate you tuning in. And as always, we're excited about, should we begin a new sermon series
we
on
do.
Sunday?
Yes.
We're excited about that.
That'll take us into the fall ministry year. It's hard to believe that we're, what, 6 weeks away?
Seven weeks away from our new fall launch
and everything.
But. Preview, what book are you going to be in?
First John.
Mm-hmm. So read ahead.
First Johann.
Right. We'll cover the whole book.
Yep.
Excited about that. It'll be good. It'll help prepare us for the ministry year. So we're going to sign off and just say God bless. We love you and hope to see you soon. Have a great rest of your week.